Hello, this is Jason Peebles, the president and founder of World Outreach Ministries, and this is another training video designed for the World Outreach missionary family. This particular training video will be on how to have an effective newsletter, the ingredients that go into helping your newsletter be effective to accomplish the goals that God has put in your heart. Before we do that, let me just say I'm really pumped about this whole new phase that we've launched into, these training videos. I'm committed to doing these at least quarterly. And the truth is, I'm probably going to be doing a lot more, but I've said in concrete at least quarterly, because we have so much good information to give you. That information will not only come from my experience, but from many of you that I'll be interviewing by phone and by Skype. And so we now have a resource library that's growing, and to tell you the truth, probably never ending. We've got hundreds of families around the world that we're helping as their home office. And so we have so much wisdom and information to draw from. And I'll be creating these videos. At times they will be audio interviews that I'll do by telephone. And these will appear in your resource library. So if you're not familiar with that, when you log in to your World Outreach portal, and all of you have a password, you can log in, track your business, see incoming donations, work with your list, create Excel files. You know about that. There's now an icon that's called the Resource Library. Start clicking on that on a regular basis, because we're continuing to add information. And this is really a continuing education program that I desire to come your way with motivation, encouragement, new information. I mean, wouldn't it be great if you want to do a medical clinic to be able to one day just click and hear an interview about somebody who's doing successfully medical clinics? Or how to do park rallies on a Saturday and reach out to children, and you've not done that, but there's a growing desire in your heart. Wouldn't it be great just to click on that and hear an interview so that you can begin to gain information, and information is power, and then God can use that to inspire your life. So that's really the dream, and that's really where we're headed. Now, let's turn our attention to this subject of how to have an effective newsletter. You know, in one of our previous training videos, we talked about how to build a strong support base. And if you've not listened to that one, you need to go back and listen to that, because it's a powerful one that will help you. And included in that is an interview with Kelly Koski, who's been a missionary over 30 years in the Transkei part of Africa, reaching a tribal people group there. And we hear his insights about keeping your motives right, and we give you a lot of good information about how to build a support base. But one of the top items that we said, and of course we're assuming that, you know, you're following God with all your heart, you're praying, all of those things, you're in faith. One of the top items is communication. And we kind of played on that word provision. We all are believing God for the provision we need to do whatever it is that God's called us to do. And we broke that word provision into two parts, provision. You need to promote your vision. You need to share and communicate your vision. If you promote your vision, then you're going to have the provision that God wants you to have. Do you see that connection? Provision equals provision. We went through that. Well, one of the top items in promoting or communicating your vision is to have an effective newsletter. And we're going to be talking about that. Now, let me just kind of hit this, because sometimes some of you just get tripped up. You think too hard. I mean, some people just think too hard and they get themselves confused. Like, well, should I have a newsletter? Well, let me ask you this. Where would we be if we didn't have the guys who wrote the New Testament? Where would we be if we didn't have somebody who wrote something? We wouldn't have the Gospels. We wouldn't have the Epistles. And remember, the Apostle Paul had on his team a guy named Silas. In some places it's translated Silvanus. And he was one of the guys who would write for Paul. And so Paul was writing letters. He was sending these letters out via runners. I mean, before the internet, before the day of print shops, Paul had the vision of letters. And so he was communicating and sharing about his work. He was sharing about the teachings of Jesus Christ, and thank God for it, because now we have the Bible. So the example has been set before us. God is a writer. God works through people and inspires them to write, and thank God we have the Bible. Now, your newsletters aren't going to be canonized or part of the Bible, but it is important to promote and share your vision, because when people see and hear what you're doing, they're going to be inspired and they're going to want to help and be a part of what you're doing. So stop thinking too hard. Like, should I have a newsletter? Yes, you should have a newsletter. You need to communicate with people. That's so important. If you want people to pray for you and rally around you, then they've got to know what you're doing. And the best way in this day and time is through an e-newsletter sent out by email. Now, what I want to do is I want to look at 8 ingredients, and I'm sure there's more, but I want to look at 8 ingredients. Then I've got some sample newsletters that we're just going to look at. I'm going to hold them up to the camera, and you're going to see them. By the way, if you go to the resource library, we've got samples that you can click on and print out, and you can kind of model your newsletter after some of these samples. But let me go through these 8 ingredients for an effective newsletter. Now, let me kind of play adversary here. If you don't have these 8 ingredients, then your newsletters will be what? Not effective. They'll just be something sent out there that people don't want to read. When they read them, they're not going to get much out of them. They may or may not respond, probably not respond. And so what is an effective newsletter? An effective newsletter is one that's read, one that inspires the people, and one that will bring some kind of result. People will pray for you or financially support you or somehow get involved with you. That's what an effective newsletter is all about. Now, I'm going to be very informal on here. I'm going to go through these. I'm just going to read these. But before we do that, let me just mention to you 2 companies that a lot of our missionaries are using. And there's others out there, and you can Google this and search. But a lot of our missionaries are using MailChimp. And I'm going to put it across the screen, MailChimp.com. It's a free service. It's kind of a newsletter design service. So they have templates. You can go in there and pick out the template that you like. And then you just plug in your information and your photos. And then you enter your email list. And then the letters go out. The newsletters go out when you program it to go out. So it's wonderful. You could be in the bush somewhere doing an outreach and your newsletter's going out, even though you're not near a computer, your newsletter's going out. So there's some advantages to using these companies versus just sending out an email. And so they're colorful. The templates are there. So MailChimp.com is one. And it's a free service up to a certain level. I'm not sure what that is. They used to give like 1,000. You could have 1,000 email addresses in there, which is usually sufficient for everybody. A company that I personally use for my list is ConstantContact.com. ConstantContact.com is a great organization. Now, they do charge, and so it's not free like MailChimp. I would say that the majority of our missionaries are using MailChimp, but I got started with Constant Contact years ago before I knew about MailChimp, so I'm too far into it. But it's nominal cost, but it's very similar. ConstantContact.com, they have templates, and you just plug in your information, plug in your photos, and you can schedule these to go out. So you can work ahead late at night when you don't have anything else to do. You can begin to design your newsletter for the next few months, and then all you have to do when it comes time to send it out is plug in some current information about some of the outreaches you've been doing, and so your newsletter is current, reflecting exactly what you're doing at that time. Now, let's go through these ingredients. The very first top of the list, and I hope you'll write these down and take notes, and then my hope is that you'll go back and evaluate what you're doing as far as a newsletter and tweak it, adjust it, so it can be the most effective that it can be. Number one at the top is an attractive banner across the top. And I'm going to explain that. You want to have some type of an attractive banner across the top or a top portion that's colorful. Let me tell you something. Most people, before they ever read a word of a newsletter, it's more what they feel when they see that newsletter. And so, you know, if there's color, if there's a photo, if there's a banner across the top, and I'll be showing you some of those, then people are more apt to want to read the newsletter, or at least scan it and see some of the bullet points that you have in there. Let me show you an example of what you don't want to have. Now, this is one that I just created because I didn't want to embarrass anybody, but we do. I could pull some samples out, sad to say, of some of the missionaries, and this is the kind of thing they send out. Does that look attractive to you? That's horrible. I mean, all it is it's just text that's run together. Notice there's no sections. There's no photos. You know, there's nothing wrong with sending just an email out. Let's say you don't want to use one of those companies. You could take a format like this and make it pleasing. And that is, you would put a photo in there. You'd break it up into sections instead of it all running together. You would have some subtitles that are bolded so people can scan and see some sections. But we get stuff like this, and notice at the end there's nothing about how to give, how to support, how to respond. And I'll be talking about that. Every newsletter that you send out should have the how to give info. So there's an example of what you don't want to have. Again, this is not a real one, but we get them like this, and we usually write them and say, hey, do this, do that, and you know what? You can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So I hope that you'll see that's what you don't want to do right there. Let me just quickly show you a few examples of these banners. Here's a great one. This is the Honduran Journey. By the way, you may see yours in here, and if so, then it should be a compliment to you. But here's one. That notice it's got a banner at the top. There's a photo. It's got the World Outreach logo. It's got some photos through here. It's got the how to give information. That's a great example. And if I'm going too fast for you, remember these samples. There's a lot of samples in the resource library, so go there. Here's one. Notice how colorful at the top. The Rydek ripples. They're having a ripple effect around the world. One page, but great. It's got a couple of photos. It's got the how to give information, the World Outreach logo that they're affiliated with World Outreach. That is something that says, I want to read that. I want to look at that. All right, here's one. The missionary, when they came to us, they were using a different title, and they carried that through. We allow that. A Bridge to the Nations. But notice how colorful it is. There's a banner at the top, family photo. At the end, he's got the little picture of Africa, World Outreach logo, all the how to give information. So you begin to see that this is very important to have a banner across the top that's attractive. Notice this one. They've chosen to use the World Outreach logo at the top, a photo of the family, colorful photos, one page, but it says that it's got the how to give information. Here's one that came in today. Cry for Japan, one of our families in Japan. It's not really a banner, but it's still attractive. It's got the colorful photo at the top, and all through it, it's got the photos that make you want to read what they're doing. And then at the end, they were faithful to put at the end all the how to give information, the link for credit card gifts, how to do checks. It's all there. And here's one. I really love the Tolsons. The Tolsons are in the Philippines, and so they've got a picture of their family there, and they've got a little bit about what's been happening on their trip here in the United States, and then they've got the how to give information. And one last one that I want to just show you as far as this banner across the top goes, Isaac and Karen Del Rio. We love this couple. They're doing a great job. And notice they've got a banner at the top with their name. They've got their photo. As you go through it, it's got a list of their itinerary. At the end, they've got the how to give information. And so they're using color photos. So when you first see this, you want to read it. There's something that says, I want to read it, versus this that says, I don't want to look at that. And so the very first thing is have an attractive banner or color at the top. The second item that's so important having an effective newsletter is photos. And you saw that, the use of photos. You don't have to go crazy with photos, but at least one photo per newsletter is so important, because a picture does say 1,000 words. A picture says 1,000 words. So when they see that photo, I want you to think of this. A photo is like a window into that culture. It doesn't always have to be a photo of you preaching or ministering. It could be a photo of the culture. It could be the photo of a very popular site somewhere. It could be a photo of the people that you're reaching. Some of the best photos I've seen are just the cultural photos where it shows the people that are eating in a different fashion and sitting in a circle with their legs crossed and they're eating out of bowls. I mean, it's a window into that culture. So the first thing is the attractive banner across the top. Second thing is photos. The third thing is subtitles. So instead of just running everything together, you want to break it up into sections. And you want to have subtitles that are bolded. That is very important, because I'll be honest with you, most people don't read every single word. They're going to look at those subtitles, and those subtitles need to summarize what you're trying to convey in the newsletter. And the fourth thing is the how to give information. It is so vital that your friends don't have to go do a bunch of research to figure out how to support you. One of the most disheartening things can be to read a newsletter, you're inspired, and we see this at times where some of our family send us the newsletter. You read it, you go, man, they're doing such a great job. Awesome. And so you feel inspired, like, I'd like to help them. And then they don't put anything at the end, how to send a check, how to use the credit card system, nothing like that. Again, this is all in the resource library. If you've forgotten what needs to go at the end, then go to the resource library. Log into your WOM portal, click on the icon that says resource library, and it's right there. Start using the how to give info at the end of all your newsletters. Why? Because the people that you're reaching, faith is going to rise up in their heart. And they're going to want to help, and they don't want to have to, like, okay, where was that other newsletter that I saw it? Start looking around, researching. Most people aren't going to do that. Some will, but most won't. And so when it's there and it's convenient, they can just click on the active link, takes them right over to our credit card donation site. They can pick your name, and they're on their way quick, just with a few clicks. If they want to send a check, it's right there where to send the check. If they want to do bill pay, the information is right there on how to do bill pay. Again, this is in your resource library. You need to go back there. In fact, all this was actually in the policy manual that we originally sent, but now we've repeated it in the resource library so that you can go back to it from time to time. So, those four ingredients, before I go on, those really are the top of the list. If you have those four ingredients, then you'll be well on your way to an effective newsletter. Again, attractive banner across the top. Number two, photos. Number three, subtitles. Break your information into sections and use a bold title for each section. And then number four, always, always, always include the how to give information. Now, let's look at 5, 6, 7, and 8. And this has more to do with content of what you're actually writing. So those first four things are the ingredients that, in my mind, really make up an effective newsletter. But let's talk about content. So number five, the fifth ingredient is vision. Vision. You want to communicate your vision in every newsletter, or at least part of your vision. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's say that you're in Africa. And I'll use Kelly Koski as an example. He's in Africa and he's reaching the Transkei region. But there may be a time in his life, and there was years ago, I remember, when he was trying to build the Bible school. So at that point, your newsletter wouldn't be talking about the whole vision, but it would be talking about part of the vision, which is the Bible school. And so translate that into your situation. Most of your newsletters, you can communicate the whole vision, but there's times you're going to focus on a part of your vision that could be a project, it could be the need for a Jeep, and how that is important to the total vision. But you want to, in your copy, in your text, somehow impart your vision, or at least part of your vision. Number six. The sixth ingredient is a sense of partnership. Oh, this is so important. You want the reader to have a sense and a feeling that I'm needed. As the reader, he needs me. She needs me. They need me to at least pray. They need me to participate financially and help them. You don't want to give the impression that, you know, you're on your own, you don't need anybody, it's you and Jesus. You know, that's really a lack of humility. And I've seen some people kind of come at it that way, and it hurts them in the long run, and they don't get the kind of response that God would like them to have. Let me just refer to a passage in the book of Philippians. And most of you can remember these verses. I'm not going to read the whole section, but notice how Paul conveys a sense of partnership when he's writing the book of Philippians. He says, now you Philippians know. Now think about this in terms of what we're talking about, a newsletter and talking to your supporters, your contacts, your friends. Look at what Paul does. He says, now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving but you only. He's saying nobody else supported me but you guys. He's stroking them. He's saying, you guys at Philippi, you're so wonderful because when I left Macedonia, no other church was helping me but you were helping me. Wow, that's a sense of a partnership, of appreciation, of camaraderie and teamship, you know, having a team. He says in verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my needs. He's saying you were repeat givers. You gave not just once, but over and over. Not that I seek your gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. So he's saying, you know, I'm not after your money, but I'm after the harvest. I'm after the vision of reaching people, and you're part of this. This is part of your fruit to your account. And so he's conveying that sense of partnership. He says, indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma. So evidently they sent another gift through a runner, through a courier, if you will, of this guy named Epaphroditus. And he came to Paul and says, here's what the people at Philippi are sending. So I said that to say this. Paul used this technique to communicate partnership. And it's not just a technique. It's really exactly what the word says. It's partnership. You are working with a team. I believe that God's best is not for somebody to try to do it all on their own. I believe God's best is to have a team of people, of prayer partners, of supporters around you. And as you launch out, God will be faithful to draw them to you. But you've got to give them that sense that, thank you. I appreciate you. I need you. We couldn't do this without you. And don't have that pride that, you know, I don't need anybody. Yes, you do. You need people to undergird you in prayer and in faith. And that's God's plan. That's God's best, so that we're dependent upon Him and we're dependent upon the body of Christ. That's God's way. All right, now, number seven, and this is one you want to give some thought to. Positive versus negative. Okay, you want to keep overall your newsletters positive. Now, there may be a time that a tragedy hits or something comes your way in a ministry, and you've got to tell the people. And I think there's times to be honest and say, hey, we've been hit with problems concerning our work visa or whatever. That just happened to one of our families, so I'm thinking about that. And it's perfectly right and needful for you to share that with your partner so they can pull with you in prayer. And if extra finances are needed, which was the case in the one that I'm thinking of, the people rallied, and eventually they got the victory, and they got their work permits, and they were able to go back and do what God's called them to do. But, you know, some of the newsletters that we see, it's like, excuse me, I'm just going to say it. It's like the people are always whining and complaining about how hard it is and this and that. Don't do that. Don't do that, because that's a turnoff to most people. You want to keep it positive, and not just artificially. You should be living, I hope, a generally positive life. I mean, you are a representative of Jesus Christ on the mission field. We have the victory. Yeah, we all get down. I know that. Yeah, we all have challenges. But you don't have to tell everybody all of your problems all the time. So you want to mostly keep it positive. When the time is right, yeah, go ahead and share your challenges. Go ahead and share things that people can pray for and explain what's happening. And people, you'll be surprised, people will rally behind you in prayer and in finances. But I think it's important to keep it overall positive in your newsletter. And the last one I want to mention to you, there's many more elements, and you're probably thinking of some right now, but the last one is one that Kelly Koski reminded me of when we did that training video on building a strong support base. Again, if you haven't watched that one, go back and watch that one after you finish this one. And that is number eight, living stories. He's really good at this. Kelly Koski is great at this, and some of our other missionaries are as well. But when you write your newsletter, from time to time, include like a testimony or something about somebody that you've reached, and make it personal instead of mass evangelism all the time. Bring it down to, Jose was reached at the crusade. Jose lives 10 kilometers away. He walked every step of the way. He lives in a mud hut or whatever. And you begin to describe, and you maybe have a photo. And so there's a window into the life of Jose, who was reached at the crusade. So suddenly you have a living story. It's not just we reached 100 people for Christ. Suddenly we reached 100 people like Jose. And there's his photo. There's his family. There's the hut that he lives in, and you were a part of helping us do that. Do you see that? And so you want to try to make some of your reports come alive through what Kelly Koski rightly calls living stories. So let me review quickly. I want to read these in case I went too fast for you, but I'm just going to read them without comment. because these are the elements that will help you have an effective newsletter. Number one, attractive banner across the top. The first thing people see should be some color, some illustration, something. Number two, photos. So important, those windows. Number three, subtitles. Break your information up into sections with subtitles. Number four, how to give info. Never, never, never send out a newsletter without that in there, or even an email. If you go to the resource library, we even have a customized PS. It's kind of a revised form of the how to give info in a PS format, and you can just make that part of your signature. Every outgoing email that goes out, you ought to have that PS in there. That's in the resource library. How to give info. Number five, vision. You want to communicate your vision, or at least part of your vision, in every newsletter. Number six, a sense of partnership, like the Apostle Paul did with the Philippians. Number seven, positive versus negative. And number eight, those living stories like Jose. You can probably tell the story now about Jose. I just made that up. You can probably tell the story because you were drawn into it. That's the point of a living story. Now, let me look at my notes here. A couple more things that I want to mention before we conclude this training video. And I really trust, what's the takeaway on this? The takeaway is at least go back and evaluate what you've been sending out. I think most of you aren't going to have to do a lot of tweaking, but some of you, if you're used to sending out, I can't lay my hands, there it is. If you're used to sending out this, you've got a lot of tweaking to do. And you can do it. You can do it by going to MailChimp.com or Constant Contact and, start working your way through these items that I've given you, and you can come up with an attractive, effective newsletter that'll work for you. But always do spell check. I mean, to me, that's a no-brainer, but a lot of times we get newsletters and there's grammatical errors and things like that. Look, all of us are subject to letting something go out the door like that. I do that at times. But I've gotten in the habit of always doing spell check. Another thing is to find a good proofreader. That could be your spouse. Now, that's going to require some humility on your part because they may tear it apart. But I learned a long time ago, I would rather have somebody that I know and trust go through and say, this doesn't make sense, or this belongs up here and this down here. And, you know, if you get your feathers ruffled, get all defensive and everything, you're never going to improve. And so proofreaders are good, somebody that can help you and then listen to what they're saying and try to make some adjustments accordingly. One other thing to mention is the idea of the snail mail newsletter. You know, there are some people on your list and probably some supporters that don't have an email address. And so the easy way to handle that is to print some hard copies of your e-newsletter and mail them yourself, or if you're not in an area that has good postal service, have a volunteer. Remember, you're supposed to be developing a volunteer team. Develop a volunteer in the states who once a month can send out 20 printed newsletters to the 20 people that you want to communicate with who don't have email. And so you just simply send them a copy electronically through email. Your volunteer friend prints a few out that are in color, folds them. They've got the addresses that you've sent them, and they mail them for you. And so you supplement your e-newsletters with printed newsletters. And by the way, that little trick or advice I've used so many times in my ministry myself, especially in projects. When it comes time to raise money for an airplane, like our ministry's had 4 airplanes through the years, or whatever your project may be, I always supplement what I'm sending out through email, and I go into my list and I grab the top supporters, donors, and I also send a printed copy. And so it doesn't hurt to over-communicate because, quite frankly, everybody doesn't read every email that comes their way. You know that. And so supplement it with the e-newsletter goes out, the printed copy goes out, and if God puts it in your heart, I've even called some people and just shared with them and said, would you at least pray? I don't ask them for money. I say, would you at least pray? Our goal is this, pray. I had one guy one time that I thought would not help us. And this was early in our ministry, and the guy sent a check for $10,000. And he said, he was a businessman, he said, I liked it when you came, I actually went to his office, he said, when you came to my office and you shared the project and left some information, he said, I liked that straightforward approach. You weren't begging, you weren't, there was no pressure, it was just like, here's the packet, pray. I'd set an appointment, went. You know, there's different ways that God puts in your heart, so you've got to be led by the Holy Spirit on all of this. So what's the takeaway? Take away is adjust where you need to adjust. And start believing God that your newsletters are productive. They're going to generate prayer power, top of the list, generate prayer power for you, and also financial sponsors that are going to help you do what God's called you to do. Well, I trust that this training video has been an encouragement to you. I hope it's been informative for you and will help you. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that you're not alone. You're not alone in this. You've got people that are praying for you. You've got supporters around you. You've got World Outreach working for you every single day. And it's an honor to do that. But more importantly, you have the precious Holy Spirit there with you 24/7 to lead you and guide you. And remember, Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think.